Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is part 157 of How to Have God's Life Actually Living in You. And this is program number 259. You can get your pen and paper, or pencil and paper ready. And after the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways on how to receive a copy of it. It's free of charge. Postage and handling is paid for as well. No charge. God gave me salvation free of charge, and I do everything in my power to get the words of salvation free of charge to the entire world. Okay, so right now let's go to the throne of the living God to ask him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. We know that we're living in the Battle of Armageddon is a mountain that we're climbing. It's we're climbing up to the mountain, the nation of heaven. And there is every power of darkness attempting to stop us from searching through this dark and dreary world for lost souls. And that is the war of Armageddon. It's the war between you, Father, you, Lord Jesus, you, the Holy Spirit, you three are one. When you were conceived, Lord Jesus, into the womb of Mary, it was all three of you who caused the Immaculate Conception. Not one part of you, but all. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and all three of you were the ones who caused Mary to conceive as a virgin, and 9 months later bear a child, the Savior of the world. And so, Lord, every devil in hell is attempting to stop us from getting this message to the world. But thus far, in 42 years, we've preached this gospel to the world. And I'm more zealous today than I was from the first day that you gave that supernatural witness of yourself to me in an office in Beverly Hills. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint this message, that you'll anoint everything that's done on this tape, so that the people in the dark and dreary world out in radio land will be able to hear, and that they will receive the things that they hear on this tape, and that the people that are born of the Spirit and in your body, that they will receive it, that they may be elevated even on higher ground, that the church will be strengthened throughout the world, the true church, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, if I was in the church or in the place where we have so many souls, you would have heard a thunderous amen, but we're just in my office here doing the Lord's thing. And right now, I've had several requests for a song that I did. Frank Sinatra, Billy Strange, and Nancy Sinatra gave this song to me. It's called, this one is not from Sunday School of Broadway is what they gave me. So this one is Mr. DJ, and we're going to play it right now for you.
Mr. DJ, would you please play that old Rugged Cross? You know, it saved me, and it gave me the hope I thought I'd lost. I was a doubter, a down and outer, drunk and dirty in L.A. And a radio station brought me salvation
with a song my mama used to play. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old Rugged Cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me the hope I thought I'd lost. I heard Jesus was no stranger to the beggar on the street. He gave them more than gold and silver. He gave them something to believe. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old Rugged Cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me a hope I thought I'd lost. I'm still a hobo, and I still go where those cold winds carry me. But I'm not worried, 'cause I know he is walking right along with me. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old Rugged Cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me the hope I thought I had lost. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old Rugged Cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me the hope
Mr. DJ, it's unlikely that DJs are going to play the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're going to hear it on this program today. We have some letters now from people out in Radio Land that have heard the message, or people that have picked up on us from gospel literature that the Lord has given me, and from newspaper articles. Incidentally, we're in the newspapers, a lot of major newspapers all over the country now. We're on radio everywhere in the world. And we were in the New York Daily News, the Tulsa World, and the Little Rock Paper in Memphis, and there's many papers over in Texarkana, Texas, Fort Smith, Arkansas. And we're getting in papers in Los Angeles, Boston, San Francisco, full page messages from the Lord to people. And people are responding, and I really praise and thank the Lord for that. So we have some letters here. People hear it by word of mouth. They get literature because we're on the street distributing it. We have a website that you can read all the literature. And there's like hundreds of pieces of literature that I've already written, but we can't get them out as fast as we'd like to. But right now, where's this first letter from?
From the Ivory Coast.
Okay, go ahead and let's hear it.
Dear Brother in Christ, Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you and all the members of your ministry in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that this letter has come to you quickly and that you are in good health and prosperity of our Lord. I came to know the world newsletter of the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries by the grace of a student while looking over final exams at the end of the year, the baccalaureate. I was more than captivated, more than impressed by the quality of the teachings. Truthfulness printed in strength and power by the Holy Spirit. This literature, Earthquake, and Love and Affection have helped me greatly to understand my situation and have completely changed my views. I have read thousands of publications from different horizons, but only through the literature from the World Christian Ministry of Tony Alamo have I found the answers for the 1,001 questions I have always posed. Questions I could never find answers for. I knew I was missing the adequate instruction for spiritual growth, training, and service in the Lord. But at last I can affirm that I have found the literature, the teachings I sought for. It is more than wonderful to read these world newsletters and to share them with those around me. I pray you will please send me your book, The Messiah. I would also like to have all the world newsletters possible every month. I have the faith that all my desires will be accomplished in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 145:19, quote, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue blessing you abundantly, you and all of your ministry. May the Lord continue to guide you by the strength of the light of his Shekinah glory to continue his work. Shalom from Bayard in Soubré, Ivory Coast, Africa.
Yeah, shalom, shalom. Okay, where's the next letter from?
From the Solomon Islands.
Let's make sure that man gets everything that he asked for. Okay, then what? And more. Then what?
Dear Pastor Lamo, it is a great pleasure from the Lord for me to greet you in the name of our Lord and Supreme Creator, the Almighty God. Amen. Out from my heart, I would like to thank you for the quick service you have done for me. Thank you for the newsletters, literature, and the 2 packets of 12 tapes of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Wonderful are the teachings you used in those tapes. It really helps to build up my Christian life and to have deeper understanding of His power. Pastor Tony, I distribute your newsletter very fast in my area because I am the only first person to receive your materials in my area. They ask me if you could send more of your newsletters plus other materials. People in my area always say to me that I have a good friend, Reverend Tony Alamo.
Send them a couple of, you know, boxes, several thousand tracks to him, and some newsletter, Messiah book.
Okay.
And tapes. Okay, then what?
I say to them, I have found the Lord because it's through Pastor Alamo's powerful ministries. I would like to thank your ministry for the biggest concern the Lord has laid in your heart for this dying world. I really saw for myself through the pictures in your world newsletters that God works mightily in your ministry. Thank you for your wonderful message entitled Salt. Truly, you are a great theologian. Pastor Tony Alamo, thank you for your letter, which I have received with the packs of tapes, asking if I would like to order some Bibles. Please send me 33 Bibles, tapes, musical tapes, and many newsletters. I would like to request you to send me one small generator. This electric generator will help us in our mission field and fellowship, Bible preaching during our mission times. For the past until now, we still use kerosene lamps. This is a very poor situation for us. We hope the Lord will bless you with our request, even though it costs you. Pastor Tony Alamo, I have a serious heart to help you in your ministry in distributing your newsletters and other materials from your ministry. I will also pray for you. May the good Lord richly bless you all for your good work with so much concern in Christ. Holfen from Malita Province, Solomon Islands.
Praise the Lord. Well, it isn't my ministry. It's our ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. And you're already in this same ministry, so call it, you know, our ministry from now on. And they sent everything but the generator. When we, our experience with generators is that they make so much noise that no one would be able to hear the words. If we can, I'll send people out to try to find a generator that's silent to where you could have meetings like that. But like I say, our experience is that the generators make so much noise they can't even hear people 30 feet away. All right, next letter's from where?
From Texarkana, Texas.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Tony Alamo, I just read your publication, Mass Suicide, and I would like to receive your book, The Messiah, as well as any other publications you may have. I'm currently incarcerated in BCCC. I have turned my life over to the care of God and have asked Jesus into my heart. I feed on the Word daily, and I have in the last several months been studying the end-time prophecies. So when I read your publication, which confirmed my beliefs as to what is soon to come, my desire to learn has grown, as well as my desire to spread the truth. Thank you for your time and for any materials you are able to send. Be blessed. Sincerely, Deborah from Texarkana, Texas.
I praise the Lord. I was in prison for the gospel, and when I was in there, a lot of people didn't know me. They saw me preaching the gospel and everything in prison, and they says, oh yeah, you've got jailhouse salvation. I said, no. Maybe you do, but I don't. I was put in prison because I was preaching the gospel. And some of you people have got jailhouse salvation because you're thinking that these judges will allow you to get out of prison. It isn't because of a natural love in your heart for the Lord. But I know that there are people in prison that have got saved there. And they do have a genuine, very sincere the Spirit of the Lord in them, and a desire, a very serious desire to serve the Lord. I'm not saying that about, but the people that were accusing me of being in there, just becoming a Christian and trying to show off. I wasn't trying to show off. I'm never trying to show off. And when I give my testimony, I'm not bragging either, because there isn't, I've never regretted being saved before. For one second in my life, I fear the Lord too much. And when I give my testimony, it's not bragging. I'm just telling people what I went through. And I tell people that they think I'm into bragging. But people have accused me of being in the ministry for money, and I own masters. Record masters, because I was in the record industry, that are worth, I've been told, $50 to $100 million. And why would anyone want to believe it? Because I own a Beatles album that's never been released. It was given to me by Pete Best, who was the original drummer of the Beatles. And his mother was the one that owned the club, and she was the rich Beatle. And he told me that they had recorded 6 albums. And he said if I'd do his promotion for him, he'd give me one of them. And so I said, that's the deal. And so I still have it, but I've never released it. If I was in the ministry, why would I be in the ministry for money when you have to take, if you're truly a sincere Christian, a true Christian, you're going to receive persecution, character assassination, slander. You're going to have difficulties, and nobody would go through that for love nor money, except it be the love of the Lord or the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And people are not going to serve the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and throughout the Bible, if they don't fear God. And the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that the whole duty of man is to fear God. I mean, not reverential fear, just fear. Fear God and keep his commandments. You have to be careful with these new translations, because they take all the fear of falling away, when the Bible tells you you could fall away. And he says, be very zealous, or he says, be very hot, zealous, or I'll spit you out of my body. You won't be saved anymore. If you're not in me, you're not saved. So the things that the false prophets are preaching are indeed false. The Lord wants your whole heart, your soul, mind, and strength, he says. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep my commandments. And the Lord said to Moses, they will not keep my commandments unless they fear me. And that's why the Lord thundered on the mount and spoke audibly to the entire nation of Israel with the 10 commandments. Everybody heard his voice. And the mountain shook, and billows of smoke came up into the heavens. They all fell flat on their faces, and after this experience, trumpets, they could hear them blowing loud till it almost shattered their eardrums. And they all told Moses afterwards, don't let God talk to us anymore. Tell him what we don't want to hear. Let him talk to you, and then you tell us. And you may be very well like those kind of people, because it's a fearful thing to hear from the Lord. I've heard from him on several occasions, and that's why no matter what fierce opposition there has been against this church, as Susie and myself, we've never stopped getting the Word of God out to the world. We've had a lot of opposition, but it's rather to be opposed and go through some trials and tribulations. Persecutions, character assassinations, slanders, rumors, all the false things that people say. It's much better to go through that here on this side of eternity so you can spend eternity in heaven than it would be for you to just break down and then go with the world government and the world church. and the people that are not of the Lord, and then wind up in hell screaming your head off forever. Okay, Lydia, where's the next letter from?
From Kentnersville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, thank you for your wonderful ministry. I listen to your message every day on shortwave. Please send me the Messiah book, several tapes, and other literature that I can read and pass on. Enclosed is a freewill offering to help the ministry and cover shipping. Love in Christ, Susan from Kentnersville, Pennsylvania.
Okay, is that it?
Yes, it is.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, Sharon, come on, and let's read. We're going to be reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Job. There's so many people in the ministry that are young people that have received the false doctrine from the world government that the youth is the one that's smart and that old people, you should not pay any attention to what they say. The Bible says the exact opposite. And the one place is the 12th chapter of the book of Job. It talks about wisdom only being is found in those that are old, gray-headed, and that understanding is only to those that are of many days. You never find any wisdom and understanding. Yes, never really depth, any depth in young people. And the reason that the world government and the educational system that is run by the world church and government, they want to build the young people up as though they're the bright boys, and that the people that are of the Lord, that have the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge, that just, you know, just put them out to pasture someplace and forget about them. That is a grave mistake for you to make, because those of us that are aged, we are the ones that really know. We have the experience of how that people come into the church to use the church, how people are false, how people come in as plants to undermine the church, how to deal with Satan. There's like thousands, hundreds of thousands of things that people can only learn by having been saved and in the Spirit for numbers, numerous years. A numerous amount of years, or a numerous amount of years. So that's what I'm, the main thing I'm hitting on here, is the young people have actually believed that hype. I mean, they start talking down to elders, and the Bible said that they would be doing these things in the last days, and it's sinful, because that's why they don't know anything. And they're perplexed because they don't know what's happening to them. All this terrorism and all these things are spoken of in the Bible. But, you know, you can know the Bible. You people, young people, can read it. You can hear these messages and you can know it, but you still don't have the experience, because you really understand the Scriptures much better once you've gone through it. Like, there's things that I've read in the Bible years ago, and I thought I knew what it meant, and then I went through the very same type of experience. Then I realized, man, this really means something to me now. And so I've been in the ministry 42 years, and there's a lot of people that's been in the ministry for 50 years that have never gone through trials and tribulations because they never really preached the full truth of the gospel. They say that the things of the Old Testament are done away with, or they're into false doctrine. They want, believe once saved, always saved, or that God wants us to have fun here on this earth, when in reality the Lord tells us to take up the cross and follow Him, deny ourselves. Now, you know, it took years for me to understand what that meant, really, the fullness of it. I knew, because, you know, a lot of people think, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, and a lot of the things you can do, but you don't get hung up in them. But anyway, let's start reading. This is, I entitled this, what, chapter 12?
Yes.
Of Job. Okay, and what I've done is I've paraphrased, and sometimes, you know, I've read so many different translations of the Bible, all the new ones, Some of them have a lot, some good things in them, and some of them, every one of them that even has good things in them, they have horrible things. They tell you that it's okay to sin, it's once saved, always saved, that God doesn't really care. They haven't got the experience, and you see these young preachers out there, don't listen to them. Then you'll say, well, Jeremiah was told, don't let anybody despise your youth, and Ezekiel and people like that, but it's like when I first got saved, a little after that, God showed me a vision, which I've written down years ago, of how God put Sue and I together. And I felt very inadequate, because he showed us kissing, and I said, this is my Bible teacher, and so I pushed myself up. I was sleeping. And I was so afraid that I would sin, because I know that the soul that sins shall surely die, and he that sinneth is of the devil. And I saw me walking into the room and kneeling down where she was laying on a couch sleeping, and we were kissing. We put our lips on each other's lips, and it showed my left profile and her right profile. And I felt, I said, this can't be. So I pushed myself up right out of sleep. And I says, no, Lord, she's smarter than I am. She'd been saved 25. He said, that's good for your ego. And I said, ego? And then all kinds of questions started coming out of my heart. And they started coming out so fast that I wasn't able to know what was coming out of my heart. It was just questions, like thousands, maybe millions of questions. And then there was another channel coming down with the answers coming into my heart so fast I didn't know what the answers were. And it seemed as though there were millions of answers coming down. I didn't feel that I was adequate to be her husband because she had so much experience and I had none. But what the Lord was doing is he pulled all the questions that I would have in the future out of me, and he was answering them back so fast. That actually after, and then when I was pushing myself up, I still saw the vision, and it turned from color, full color, to black and white, and it was like the profiles of us kissing each other were done in white wrought iron, hot. It was hot, white hot, and it was started to shimmer really fast, and it had a sound of like that, and then it just went right into my heart and mind and soul. And when that was happening, there was like puffs of it seemed like smoke, but I know now it's the Holy Spirit that was saying, it's true, 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 like that. And I thought, my God, I mean, and when that happened to me, I felt adequate, very adequate to be her husband. And that I would, there was some, the Lord put all that wisdom in me, even though I hadn't read it yet, because I was still young in the Lord. And before this, she was in the bedroom saying, seeing us walking through these arbors with huge roses, she said, with dew coming off of them. I was in a tuxedo and she was in a white wedding gown. And our arms were linked and we're going through this arbor and she kept, says, Lord, I've been saved too long. Don't. He's too young. And she said, the Lord answered back, yes, but he's strong. And then she started going back and forth with him. And finally, she said, okay, Lord, if this is you, then you show him and then make him tell me. Then I'll know it's you. And it was just shortly, I mean, I don't know how soon it was after she said that, but that happened, and then I said, I wasn't able to go back to sleep. I was laying on my face on the couch because that's where, in her living room, is where we had the bunch of souls there that she won. I'd give my testimony. I'd go down the street and collect all the characters that I knew on the street, and I'd bring them up to the apartment, and then I'd give my testimony. Then she'd come out and bring the message and then pray them through. And the place was packed out with people, and I had a toothache all night. And she promised to take me to her dentist the next day. And so I went to the market when it opened up about 8 o'clock in the morning. I bought me a a package of these pinwheels, because I liked them. They had cookies with marshmallow and chocolate over the top. And so I bit into one of them, and it got into that cavity in my tooth and caused me so much pain, it was unbelievable. But all of a sudden, when I went back to the apartment, I was waiting for everybody to get up. I was sitting on the couch in the living room. The pain went away, and I fell into such a deep sleep because I hadn't had any sleep. And then this vision came to me. And when I pushed myself up, I was wide awake, and I laid back down, just meditating on what I had seen. I said, my God, why would God do this to me? And I thought, well, if I see her, I'll know whether it be of the Lord or not. And so I felt her presence, and I looked, I gave a quick glance up, and her face was filled with horror. Her hands were up by her face and on the side of her face. And it was like, oh, my God. I says, oh, my God, she knows. And later on during the day, to make a long story short, while we were walking down to go to the dentist, I said, I came right out of my mouth. I had the strangest dream or vision. She says, what was it? And I knew when she said that, I felt a chill inside my soul, and I didn't, and I was too embarrassed to tell her. And I says, then I said, you already know. And she says, I know, but you have to tell me. And that was so frightening to know that God gives people prophecies one to another, and that it really is true. And so later, after we were listening to Gospel Records over at Music City on Sunset and Vine, which no longer is there, I told her, okay. She says, come on, you got to tell me. I said, okay, it's, you know, I don't know what why God would do this, but I mean, he says, you and I, Las Vegas. In other words, Las Vegas, everybody knows that people go there to get married. And she said, that's right. And she grabbed my arm and hooked my arm in hers, and we walked out of there, and she went over to her apartment, and she started selling her furniture, putting ads in the newspaper. And she says, I said, what are you doing? She says, we're going to Vegas. And I said, why do we have to get married when God already married us? And she said, to satisfy the law of the land. And I says, did Abraham go to the law of the land and get a marriage license, get married to Sarah, or Isaac to Rebecca, or that didn't happen at all. Isaac, she saw Isaac out in the field. She jumped off of her ride and went over, and they went into the mother's tent, and they consummated the marriage, and they were married. She says, I don't care, Tony. I don't want people. I know how vicious people are. We're going to get married. So we got three times married in Las Vegas. And then later the Lord, she said, people think you're crazy because I heard about you. And she said, they think you're crazy because you quit being in the industry where you had such a high position and that you were so successful, and that you went out on the streets, you know, talking about Jesus and things like that. And so this singer Rovan came along, and she said, I want you to do the promotion. The Lord wants you to do it because he wants people to know in the industry that you're not crazy. And so within 90 days, he was a superstar. I did the promotion. He was working in a lumber company. And he was the star of the Dunes Hotel on the Ed Sullivan Show. Appeared in the Coconut Grove at the Ambassador Hotel, the London Palladium, and all over the place. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you what happened, okay, so that you know I'm not in the ministry for money. But the story goes on. I've written literature on it, and I'll probably be reading it on the air pretty soon, so stay tuned. Right now, Sharon, let's go with the 12th chapter of the book of Job.
I'm saying this in regard to the young people of the world today, even the young people in the church. There's a doctrine that the youth are the ultimate in wisdom and knowledge today.
Yeah, this is a worldly false doctrine. And what?
But the doctrine of God is offensive to these type of people. It is offensive to mankind,
since man, by his focus on man, would reverse God's role and usurp his throne. First, the ultimate determination is not man's, and man at best is only partially aware of his own nature, and really only partially aware that he is alive. So this type of
sin... As a matter of fact, they're not alive until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
The Bible says we're dead, and the dead know nothing. Dead in our sins and trespasses. So all you people in the world that are not saved, you're dead so far as going to heaven. And if you're dead so far as going to heaven, then you go to hell if you die. That's why you need to be regenerated. You need to have the Lord's life living in you. And I'm talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Okay, go ahead.
So this type of thing involves a search for an impossible, actually non-existent wisdom in terms of autonomy of man.
Autonomy means that if a government has its own autonomy like we used to have, then we based everything on In God We Trust. But now that we've joined the United Nations, the world government, which God calls the beast, the Antichrist, and is run by Rome, we don't have our own autonomy. We're like, we go along with the beast, the one world government, the cult, and the news media, the cult in Rome. And so therefore, we can't say we have our own autonomy anymore. My autonomy is the Bible, the Old and New Testament. And if you come to me with any other autonomy, I don't receive it. Anytime somebody tells me that it's okay to be a homosexual and the Supreme Court says it's okay to lie and that it's all right to have abortions, to commit first-degree murder to people with little babies that can't even defend themselves, I don't believe in that autonomy. And so the autonomy of people today are that they believe like the world believes, and that is not correct with the Lord. And therefore, you need to repent if you want to spend eternity in heaven and stay out of hell and believe the gospel. Then what?
Autonomy of man, which is mythological and irrational.
Yeah, it's mythological. It's irrational to disbelieve God. That's why everybody's acting so crazy today. People are drowning their children because they're irrational. They don't believe the gospel. The gospel never. So they say God told them to do that or to shove their children out of windows or to go into school and school kids killing their school chums. When if they read the Bible, they'd know that God is going to send them to hell for that. He said, well, if they repent. Well, how can they repent if they're believing in the world autonomy that states that you can do these kind of things and get a slap on the wrist? God is not telling women to drown their children in bathtubs. He's not telling anybody to kill anybody except those that commit murder. They have to receive, and God never took away the death penalty, which is stoning to women that commit adultery. Jesus said, that's right, she should die by stoning. So those of you, he didn't deny that. He said, those of you that are without sin, cast the first stone. So really, there's no one in the world that could actually stone anybody to death. And so therefore, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the Lord came so that you could come to him and receive eternal life and then be forgiven for all your sins. And he gives you the power by the Spirit of God living in you, the full Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that you could have the power to not sin anymore. Okay, go in, Sharon.
Autonomy means they are able to govern themselves, or they are like a nation within themselves.
Yeah, it's like you have your own government, your own rules and regulations. Like it says in the Old Testament, they all... No one believed in the law. They just had their, whatever they thought was right would be right. And that's the way that the world government, the cult in Rome, and also the news media has conditioned people to, don't be against different people. As a matter of fact, I had my literature is being printed full pages in the New York Daily News and a lot of big major newspapers across the country, all over the country. And they say, well, if you mention anything about the Vatican, you can't put it in there. And I said, well, because you're attacking them. I said, no, I'm defending ourselves against their attacks. They're the ones that have been attacking us for years. They said, well, take it out. So I've taken some of this stuff out, and I just tell them, refer to my website, because there you're going to get the whole story. Okay? All right, go ahead.
I say again, this wisdom in terms of the idea that they are a nation within themselves, and every man can do their own will, this autonomy of man is mythical and irrational.
Yeah, so you see that all the people in the world are irrational. And the Bible says even the leaders of nations would be insane. It says it in the Bible. They're perplexed. They don't know what to do, when all there is to do is to read the Bible and govern the world by what the Word says. But the Bible says they're not going to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Anyone who thinks that way is an irrational human being. I'm going to be reading from the book of Job, chapter 12, which tells us about the wisdom that actually is of the Lord. Verse 1, quote, then Job spoke again, and he was saying,
now,
verse...
Again, I have to say that I'm paraphrasing here and using a few scriptures from another version, because it's highly not understandable from the King James, which we read. It's really understandable if you know the scriptures. So I'm giving it to you this way. Okay, so start again there.
Okay, verse 1. Quote, then Job spoke again, and he was saying, verse 2, you really know everything, don't you?
Here he's being facetious to these supposed to be comforters of him, saying, you guys know everything, don't you? You're know-it-alls. But he's saying you're know-it-all, know-nothings. Then go ahead.
I'm paraphrasing here. He's talking to all these people. You know everything. There isn't anything you don't know. And when you die, wisdom that's in the world will die with you.
No, your wisdom will die with you. We won't have any more wisdom when you big shots die. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But they don't have any wisdom. But they're saying they have wisdom. But Job is laughing at them by being facetious with them by saying, when you die, the whole world won't have any more wisdom because you're all wisdom, aren't you? Okay, then what?
Wisdom that's in the world will die with you because you are all wisdom. I always say that a person who thinks that they are the wisdom of the world, what are we going to do without them? So many people have died before and gone on who thought...
Oh, no, the people have died before that thought they were big shots. But, you know, we go down the graveyard and see their markers. But it's amazing. Now that they're gone, the world still keeps spinning around, you know. And somehow we're getting along. We still get to go and buy food, pay our bills. And if not, so some of you people that are not able to pay your bills, you have welfare or somebody's doing something for you, would be existing. But some of the people in Africa and other places like that, or people like in Mexico or in the Latino countries, many of them are sleeping in cardboard boxes. Okay, and then go on.
Verse 3, quote, I know a few things as well, Job says, and you're no better than I am. In other words, we're all humans. Who doesn't know these things that you've been saying to me?
But these are supposed to be Christians, and Job is a Christian. And so he says, who, as so far as Christians are, that don't know these things that you're telling me? Then what?
I'm paraphrasing again. Verse 4, yet my old buddies, my friends, laugh at me. I'm a man who calls upon the Lord and receives an answer.
Yeah. You know, the same thing here. People say, oh, you, Tony Alamo, you know, they're laughing and mocking and scoffing and bringing false accusations and everything. And they're laughing at me, and yet I'm telling them the truth. And that's what Job was telling them here. And he says, I talk to the Lord, and he talks back to me, and yet you people that have your own autonomy are laughing at me. And the first chapter of Proverbs says that God's going to laugh at you as you're spinning down into hell. Okay, then what?
I'm a man who calls upon the Lord and receives an answer, and you laugh at that. I am a just and blameless man. Yet because of that, they think I'm corny and stupid, and they laugh at me.
Yeah, and I'm old, but to the young people, they think I'm corny and stupid, and they laugh at me. And like people sometimes in the church, they say, he's old, he doesn't know anything. Because the world government, the Antichrist, told them, we even had a man in the church say, this church is in the hands of the youth. That's completely contrary to the scriptures here, so let's go ahead, keep going.
Verse 5, people in this world that are of these mock those of us.
Those that mock us, that are full of mockery and laughing and scorning, those that are the aged, because the Bible says wisdom is of the aged, not of the youth. Youth is foolishness. And yet the world exalts foolishness because that's their autonomy, is foolishness, mythology. Okay, then what?
People in this world that are of these mock those of us when we are in trouble. They give a push to people.
Yeah, in other words, when we get in trouble, people are applauding when they see persecution coming our way. And they, instead of helping, they give us a push. Push them. In other words, Christians do that to each other, supposed to be Christians. Instead of helping people that are Christians when they see they're being persecuted, what they do is push them out into the traffic. They even help the Antichrist do everything that they can to bring the Christian down instead of praying for them and giving them aid. Now, I've always given aid to those that I see in trouble. I get a rash of letters from people that are in prison that say they're there on false charges. I want to look at their transcript. They send it to me. And if there really are, if there's any chance for it, I send it to my attorneys in New York. And we do everything that we can. I'll pay if I have the money to take to pay for the attorney to fight for them. Okay, then what?
They give a push to people who are stumbling.
Yeah. If they see that we're stumbling and falling, and even people in the church, instead of, they see somebody doing something wrong, instead of educating them with the Word of God, they say, this person is doing that, throw them out. We had a couple of people in the church that always, somebody didn't know that it was wrong to take soap from, they took some soap powder from in the dormitory, and because they thought it was community soap, and they'd wash their clothes with it. Instead of telling the person, hey, if you need soap, all you do is put it on the list and Tony will get you your own box of soap. He'll have the purchasing agents do that. Okay, keep going.
They want them to fall.
They want them to fall. There's actions. That's where the Christians are the only ones that kill their wounded. They're evil people calling themselves Christians today. You need to repent. Okay, then what?
These are the wicked people.
That's right. Keep going.
Verse 6, but even robbers are left in peace, and those who provoke God. And God has them in his power, yet he allows them to live in safety, they think. Verse 7, why don't you people ask the animals? You're animals, and you think that you're wise, but you could learn from animals, and they will teach you.
Because the animals are better than you. They don't. Many of them don't kill their own. I mean, a chicken will kill their wounded. And a hog will. They'll actually even eat their young. Well, the Bible says that humans do that too. That's why God sent the Israelites, the Hebrew children, into Africa, which is Canaan land, and told them to kill them all because they were wicked like that. Okay, and then they did and drove some of them out, but they kept some in. The Lord says that there'll be a thorn in your side if you don't get them out of there. And what? And they are to this very day. That's the Arabs. Because God calls the Arabs madmen, insane. And that's part of the Palestinians, and they are part of the Vatican. And so, and the Muslims. It's all part of the Vatican. And what? And that's why you just see all these problems over there today. Then what?
They are smarter than you are. Ask the birds of the sky, and they'll teach you. Verse 8, talk to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish of the sea speak to you, because you're not listening to the things of God. Let all the things of this world talk to you, in other words. Because you understand, you think, worldly things, but obviously you don't know about me. but these fish
not
understand.
Not me, God. Okay, then what else?
Verse 9.
Because you're carnal just like they are, and so just speak to them. Because what good will it do you? Then what else?
Verse 9. They all know that the Lord has done this. Verse 10. For the life of every living thing is in God's hand. The breath of all living, all humanity, and everything that's living is in his hand.
Yeah, even grass, because it's alive. It's in his hand. Then what else?
Verse 11. Just as the mouth tastes good food and can also determine if it's bad food, so the ear tests the words it hears. Now check this out, you young people. Verse 12. Wisdom belongs to the aged.
Yeah, not to you. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord, belongs to the aged. Not to you little wet behind the ears kids. Or young people, because you don't know anything. Then what?
Wisdom belongs to the aged, not to the young people like the government wants you to believe, and the Antichrist regime, the Antichrist church in Rome, the media, the school system, the beast, the government. Wisdom belongs to the aged, and understanding to those who have lived many years.
Yeah. Have you lived many years? Some of you people still are like in your teens or 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. And I know people that are 100 years old, but they never received wisdom from God, and so they're just as foolish as you young people. Then what?
Some of the people who I deal with on a daily basis, I'm talking about the children at the church and children outside the church and people much younger than myself, they ask for instruction, and when you give it to them, they don't want to receive it. It's because they think they're smarter, that they have more wisdom and understanding than those who have lived many years. On the other hand, verse 13, true wisdom and power are with God. And if the aged are with God, we have the power.
So if I'm instructing you from the Word of God, and you just think it's corny or old-fashioned, and you think that being hip is being involved with the cares of this world, the things of this world, then you're... you have no wisdom whatsoever. You're insane, according to the Word of God. Now, I didn't write this, the Lord did. Then what?
It takes years and years and years for you to acquire the power. If your pastor is teaching...
It takes years to receive the wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You have to go through the experience of things. Some people, you know, they're in little towns, and they think they're experienced. I mean, I've been... in other parts of the world, Europe and Middle East, and all over the country over here in Canada, I live there, and it takes years of that. You learn stuff, new things every day. Okay, and I learn more and more about the Lord every day. Okay, then what?
If your pastor's teaching what the Bible says, and he can show it to you in the Bible, then you should believe the wisdom.
Well, you must believe it. Or you're going to hell. Now, right now, we're going to continue this message tomorrow. But right now, I see that my time is up. And those of you that want to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you must, you're not going to serve the Lord unless you fear him. And some of the people in the churches that have been in the churches for years don't realize because their pastors and teachers are telling them, well, one of these days, you know, in the future, it's not going to happen in our lifetime, but it's going to happen one of these days, and you folks don't have to worry about it. The Lord is standing at the door right now and is ready to come back to earth. He says he's going to come back suddenly. He said if he didn't put a stop, if he didn't end all things, he said there wouldn't be any flesh that would be able to continue on. And he says that he's going to shorten the time because of the... in the days of Noah, things were so violent, and that he said, I'm going to kill everybody. Well, it's a million times more violent today, and God's going to end the time exceedingly soon. The people, these pastors, are not wise. They don't have the wisdom of the Lord. They're not close to God. They're not Jews. I'm a Jew. We wrote the Bible. Listen to us, because I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you true prophecy. Well, right now, those of you that want to receive the Lord, hopefully, you know, pray for fear of the Lord if you don't have it. Say this prayer to God so that you can be saved. Say unto the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you, Lord, and I'm believing you're hearing me, and I know you've answered me, and therefore I know that I'm saved. I'm receiving it by faith. Faith is the way we receive things from the Lord. We can't receive anything from him in any other way. Therefore, I accept you by faith in Jesus' name, and I thank and praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Praise you. Now, I just keep praising and thanking the Lord, and Sharon, come and tell them how they can receive a copy of this tape if they'd like one, or CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, Chris Christofferson, I met him. He's such a really sincere type person. He wrote a song that I recorded. And why God saved me, I don't know, but it's called Why Me, Lord? Why?
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving? The kindness you've shown. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am, but now that I know my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in